You know, it's interesting when I've talked about this book to other people, they've made that very, very same observation. Gosh, did you meet somebody and then you had $1 million lot, windfall from that meeting? And I'm saying, no, that's not the purpose of this book. The purpose of this book was to highlight that the incidental meetings that we have with strangers that cross our paths are really not incidental. They are placed in our lives for a reason. And the reason may not even come to fruition or come to even our awareness until many years later. And then we go back and we think about it and we think, wow, when I met that taxi driver and he said XYZ, wow, what an impact that had, in the recesses of my mind. And then, of course, it surfaces later.
Many of these encounters are based on travel because you traveled so much when you were with companies. Airport lounges, airplanes, taxis. That travel opens you up to meeting so many different people of so many different types.
Yes, it does. And yet there are also stories in the book, since you've read it, that are also the incidental meetings of everyday life. The grocery store clerk, there's a story in there about William, who is actually all of these are authentic, true stories of people that are real life people. Some of them have deceased and others are still with us. William is actually a grocery store clerk in my grocery store back in Dallas, Texas, who I've gone to that grocery store for almost 30 years. And the effect that he has on me every time I go because of his attitude, the way he approaches his job. And I wanted to write about him. I wanted to put a face to the name,
What do you take away from this relationship with William?
And that actually, to be honest, is his name, and that's why I entitled the chapter William's Way. William is a challenged young man. This is probably the only position that he could have in today's world because of his situation. And the way he approaches his job is very much being present in the moment, which is a core pillar of my book. He approaches each person that he meets as if it's the first or potentially even the last time he's going to see those people. He is very patient with some very demanding people. The area that I live in, everybody in the world is on such a fast pace right now. We're so impatient. We're always in a hurry. And William greets these people with such a sense of presence, a sense of patience, and almost gratitude for having the job at all. And so what I write about him is just that. And I try to describe him in a way that people will relate that you probably are running up against Williams every day of your life, but you may not be paying attention to it because you're not awake and you may not be present in the moment. And that's the reason why I wanted to highlight him in particular. It doesn't have to be some catastrophic or catapulting engagement with somebody in seat 5E on an airplane, which is another story I write. It could be just your postman or your yard man or the grocery store clerk.
One of the first encounters you mentioned, maybe it is the first, is a taxi driver.
Yes.
Who has come from the Ukraine
Yes.
to the United States. And you mentioned by the time you were out of the taxi, you realized how brave he was.
Yes.
Because as a teenager, he knew he wanted to leave.
Yes.
That he saw life was hard. There was much alcoholism where he was. And to get ahead, to work for himself, he had to come to the U.S.
Yes.
How did that change? Because when you got in the taxi, you were just ready to get somewhere.
Yes. Yes. And New York in particular and most metropolitan areas are full of taxi drivers like that. They are full because so many times people are immigrating to the United States for a better life. And I was absolutely humbled by the bravery that this particular man must have had to pick up and leave everything he knew and his family to come to America, right, where he did not speak the language. He did not have a vocation that would translate into a metropolitan area. He was a grower of food, right? And yet he did come. He did take the test that he needed to take. He did learn the language. And he has built an incredible life for himself. So what I took away was, of course, the bravery. I was incredibly humbled. I actually felt like a glutton when I got out of that taxi because so many of us in America, we just take for granted so much of what we've been given. And it was a very humbling experience. And so that's what I took away. And that's why I started with that story. Because as a traveler, as a global traveler, taxi drivers they're pervasive. Everybody has an interaction with a cab driver.
It's one thing to have these encounters. It's another level to realize that there's something to be learned. And then it's another level to admitting whether it actually did change you. Because we've all had these encounters where we think, I should be grateful for what I have because I've come into contact with someone who has it worse than I do or something like that.
Yeah.
But then to actually put that into practice.
Yes.
You know, and not 24 hours later be upset because you're on roaming on your cell phone or something like that.
Yes. You know, that is such an interesting point because, again, as I've traveled around talking about the book, you're spot on. So many people, if they want to share an encounter, typically they want to share an encounter with a notable person,
mm-hmm.
you know, someone that is a CEO or a famous movie star or somebody who has some sort of cachet around their name. There's not a single person in this book that has that sort of cachet. These are everyday people just like you and me. And you're right. Very few people have ever admitted that these people actually have a much greater, oftentimes a much greater effect on our lives than the famous people that we meet, you know?
Well, it may be a situation where it's not just one of these random encounters you've had change, but it's over time,
yes.
the accumulation.
Yes, the culmination of
right.
it. And, you know, that's the other point that, you know, there are three big points that I was trying to get across in the book. One was being present in the moment. One was staying awake to these moments, right, so that you do connect the dots, so to speak, that interaction did in fact happen for a reason, because I don't believe in accidents. So I don't believe that these incidental meetings are in fact incidental. And then the third point, which is the point we're actually coming into now, is that we are all connected. We are all connected as part of this dance of humanity, so to speak. And, you know, I believe that we are here on this planet to teach and or to learn at various points in our lives, through every moment in our lives. And so through these connections of all of these random people, they absolutely can teach me something. And perhaps through my random encounters, I might be teaching something myself to someone else. So that's the other point, is that this human network, you know, we're wired to interact with each other, right? Whether we are extroverted or introverted, it really is irrelevant. We are wired to interact in some way, shape, or form with each other.
My favorite story is the one you title Mr. Fancy Pants.
Oh, yes.
You're an airport bar, and I take it it's one that you've connected through several times.
Oh, yes. It is the American Airlines Admiral Club in LaGuardia.
Okay. And so the man behind the bar is someone that you're somewhat familiar
yes.
with.
Yes.
You see him from time to time.
I do.
And then this fellow, and we've all been by this person.
Oh, yes.
At an airport bar, if you frequent airport bars, it's this fellow who comes in and he's very self-important and wants you to know he's important.
Absolutely.
But this conversation, he starts to open up, and this conversation that he has, and the bartender interjects himself and really says something beautiful
yes.
that just kind of stops the moment.
Yes. Well, you know, Mr. Fancy Pants, which, like you say, we know a million of these people,
mm-hmm.
right? And especially if you're a corporate executive like I was for so many years, you know, they're very prevalent. And this, he was unhappy, though. Bottom line, this executive, all of the trappings and all of the fixings of a corporate career and all the money and material wealth that it brought, he still was vacuous. There was a void in his life. And he made the comment, I wish someone would love me if I lived in a tent. If I lived in a tent. And the bartender, you know, said, gosh, but would you love yourself if you lived in a tent? And it was this moment, you know, you could have heard a pin drop, literally. Not really, but, you know, it was,
yeah.
there was just this pregnant pause. And I am certain that Mr. Fancy Pants walked away from that conversation with questions in his mm-hmm. mind, trying to reestablish what was really of value to him, what was really important to him. And for the bartender to say it with such conviction that he was happy in his job, and he knew that all he had was the present moment, and he knew that the people that he interacted with at that bar were people that perhaps would never cross his path again, and yet he had an opportunity at that moment to affect that life. And he does it every day and loves it, right? It was pretty powerful. Right? And never will make the money that Mr. Fancy Pants
right.
made. But that was not important to him.
Most of the encounters are of a positive nature. You do write about one when you and your sister got into real estate
yes.
and it turned sour because
yes.
the person you rented to, who you trusted,
yes,
ended up manufacturing methamphetamines.
Oh, yes.
But you still took something away from that that you thought could improve your life.
Oh, absolutely. And I have to tell you, it's as I was saying earlier, you know, it's such a – if it were not such a sad, true story, mm-hmm. it would make for a great dark comedy. It mm-hmm. really would. It was such a tragic situation. And, you know, never in my life, Kyle, would I have ever expected my father to call me and say, you know – he was found cooking to meth in the kitchen. You know, I thought maybe cooking spaghetti or something, but meth, I mean, I don't know. It's just never would have expected that. Well, what I took away from that were several things. You know, obviously judgment is really important in life. And I think oftentimes I'll own this. You know, I can be very naive when in meeting people and expecting and wanting the best from them. And oftentimes we are disappointed. So choices are critical in our life, the choices that we make, both from Larry, the gentleman that I wrote about, as well as my own choice on and judgment call of whether or not I could and should trust this man, right? What did I take away from that? That's what I took away from it. Choices are imperative, whether we are, you know, running a $3 billion business unit for Hewlett-Packard or whether we are leasing rental property in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Choices are important as equally for Larry as for me. So that was the takeaway on that one.
You and I are about the same age.
Yes. I'm a little older.
A little bit, but not much. If you took anyone from age 20 to about our age, of course you're going to change, probably, in some manner, philosophically, politically. But do you think these random encounters have changed how you view things? And I'm not asking necessarily for specifics, but how you view something politically or philosophically or spiritually?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely. And I think two things. I think that most of our answers, all of our answers, I'll be even more bold, all of our answers to life are within us. We are spiritual beings living a life on the planet, right? So the answers are within us. And yet, these interactions with other people, going through the same experiences and the same journey, because we are all human beings on this planet, absolutely help to reveal those truths that perhaps have been buried due to societal pressure, due to expectations that we place on ourselves, due to just the realities of being, you know, in the world that we're in, right? So absolutely they have changed my perspective, and even more importantly, they have revealed and strengthened and validated perhaps beliefs that I had repressed because of my corporate career and whatever it was that I felt at the time was more pressing or more important.
How important is it that we talk to and meet people who are not like us?
Oh, I find it imperative because, you know, there's this terrible little cliche called PLU. People have used this term to me before, people like us. And when I hear that, people like us, I understand what they mean. There is a comfort being around people that are like us. And yet it also bristles the hair on my back of my neck because I want to say, my goodness, the world is, you know, a banquet, right? And so let's just try everything and let's meet everyone because they are teachers. They are teachers and we are teachers, right? And some of the greatest lessons that I ever had, Kyle, were people I never even met. There's a story about the couple in India. Mm-hmm. You know, I never even met them. They were as disparate from me as any humans could be, right? Living on a platform amidst poverty on the edge of the Ganges, right? And yet that story, I was asked just the other day what was one of my favorite stories. That has to be one of my most pivotal and most favorite stories just because of to your point, just the vast difference, right, of how that interaction happened and the effect it had on me. It was tremendous.